Hello and welcome to the 19th episode of the Animal Addicts podcast. We have a very feline-focused episode today, but we also hear about Casey surviving his finals, my parents' new dog, and some dog advice if you're getting a new pup in your life. As always, check out the pictures of all the animals we talk about on our social media accounts at Animal Addicts Podcast on Instagram and Animal Addicts P on Twitter. And now, episode 19 of the Animal Addicts Podcast. Episode of the Animal Addicts Podcast. As always, we're your host Allie
and Casey,
and today we're gonna talk about a whole new schmeagle. That's not even a word. I just wanted to make something up. A whole new kerfuffle. Nope.
Kerfuffle.
That's not. That has nothing to do with the group.
What is a kerfuffle?
It's like it's like a drama. Not a drama, but like there's a screw up.
Hmm.
It's a terrible definition.
I'm a kerfuffle then.
We'll have to look up the actual definition of kerfuffle and get back to you. But anyway, we're going to talk about a whole new awesome group of animals today. I'm really excited about all of our animals today. I love all of them, honestly. All of our choices, I'm so here for it.
That's an indication of aesthetics.
Okay. I can explain that later, exactly what you mean by that. I know what aesthetics are, but I'm just saying. I feel like that's a dig. Yeah, well, yeah. You also chose things, so whatever. Anyway, Casey, so fill us in. What else have you been up to?
Finals.
No.
Yeah. So, I had all my finals.
Mm-hmm.
I know two classes I probably got an A in.
Yay.
One class? Okay, here's the thing about, like, when you're a STEM major, you can be like, ace all the quizzes, mm-hmm. and then you get do well on the first midterm,
yeah.
then you get to the final. Mm-hmm. If you absolutely bomb it, you may fail the class.
That sucks.
That was what I was thinking about in biochemistry. It's like, this will make or break me. I want to keep my A, but I just don't see that as being possible.
Aww.
Yeah. I had two finals one day. That sucked because I only had an hour break between them.
Yeah, that's a bummer.
Yeah. Then the rest of the week was one final per day.
That's not so bad.
Yeah.
And how do you feel you did on all of them?
Biochemistry, I'm pretty sure I passed.
Okay. Passed, not well, yeah. but passed.
I think I got A's on all my other ones.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Yep.
I would fail all of that, probably. So, you know, I mean, I also haven't studied it, but...
Yeah.
Be interesting. We need to have, like, a solid competition of something you don't know a lot about, and, like, both of us have to study it and see how I do.
What would that... Well, it wouldn't have to be... It wouldn't be animal-related.
Rude. It'd be dog-related, specifically. Or cat-related, like domestic animals.
Yeah, or chemistry.
No, because I would fail that. I hated chemistry. No offense, chemists out there, but
I hate, like, general chemistry. I hate organic chemistry and biochemistry are at least a bit more interesting.
Maybe. I wouldn't even say it's like there's no interest in it. It's just so complicated. I hate the naming. That is so off-topic.
I hate the math.
Yeah. So, okay. Well, that's it. You survived finals.
Yes, I did.
Yay. Well, I brought up last week that I, yesterday, because the way these are going to be aired, that I had to quarantine in Arizona
the
for
all my parents. 4 days of Animal Addicts Christmas.
It is. It's a very, do you realize that our last episode, it's just the way it worked out, is a Friday and it's Christmas.
Yeah.
It's crazy. And then the next one after that's going to be New Year's. Where's all the holidays? Oh, my gosh. Anyway, so my parents got their dog. His name is Duke.
Yes.
I will post a picture. I need to get a better picture of him, but he's so cute. He's mostly Shepherd and probably some Rottie in there and probably something else. But he is so smart. He's so, so smart. And he's adorable, and I love him. And while I was in Arizona, I was editing out the cursing on our first episode.
Rattle.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And I didn't want to be lame and just have a bleep, so I added, obviously, if you've listened to it, you've heard now, a cat meow. But I basically was on YouTube searching for cat meows for a long time, and he was convinced that I was hiding a cat in that room.
He was very upset by it. Like, the next day, we had to just let him in to explore and make sure there's no cat. So he was very upset, and it was very hard for me to get that done because I was like, well, these cat meows seem to work. I'll edit them and pop them in because he's very upset about this. And he's sitting there whining. And he would bring his toy to the dog gate and drop it there for me to throw it. And he would do it when my dad was in it, too. He's so cute. And he loves toys. It's the first dog. Well, they've had another dog that liked toys, but he's the first dog that will actually fetch. And he's really smart because if you throw it, like when I got my, you know, I was cleared, my mom and I took him out and went and played with his ball with him outside. So she would throw it, and then he'd usually obviously bring it back to her. Mm-hmm. But then she'd be like, no, go take it to Allie. And I'd be like, bring it here. And he would, like, he'd drop it at her feet, pick it up, and bring it to me. He's so smart. And then, and he doesn't do that whole, like, you can never get the ball when they drop it, you know, situation. Yeah. Like, he'll let you get it. He will stare at it intently, but he will let you get it. But he's just... Oh, he's so cute, and I love him so much. And he loves toys. He is a chewer, though.
Oh, yeah.
So I can now say, from experience, the only toys he did not destroy are the Kong Extreme Chewers. So we have a black Kong. It's obviously his size. I'm impressed because, wow, his jaws are strong, dude. Because I can't push that. You know how it has that little hole on the bottom part? I can't push it. I can't make it. With my arms, I can't push it and make it. I mean, a little bit, but barely.
Mm-hmm.
Give, but when he chews it, he can get that like flat. So I figured he's gonna kill that thing, but it's still making it. And then they got him the Kong ball after I left, because he can't get his teeth into anything there. But apparently it weighs a lot.
Oh yeah.
He drops at your feet. But he's so, and he'll take it, and if like you're sitting down, he'll come and drop his toy in your lap. Like, excuse me, play with me. Oh my god, he's so cute. He's just so cute. I love him so much. So again, people, adopt, don't shop. Mm-hmm. He's such a great dog. So we still have to work on some stuff with him. He's only like two, so he definitely has to work on his loose leash walking, for sure. But he's a great boy, and I love him so much, and I can't wait to go see him again for realsies. Oh, he's so sweet. I love him so much. Anyway, his name is Duke. I think I said that, and I'll post a picture. But he's so cute, Casey. I love him.
I know you do.
Anyway, so adopt, don't shop. And speaking of adopting, or if you want to get a dog, I figured we would talk about some more pet advice.
Alrighty.
And we would talk about dogs and puppies, because last time we talked about cats and kittens.
Yes.
So a dog is usually than a puppy, first of all, but we'll kind of do both. So number one thing for, especially a dog, I would say even more than a cat, really probably for almost every animal except for a cat, is research. Yeah. That's your number one.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to get a specific breed, you need to look in that breed. We talked about the Leonberger. That's not a good dog for everybody, right? Look into that. Dalmatians, super high energy. I read a book and they described them, their energy level as being I believe it was a second grader who had been trapped inside over a rainy weekend. That's their energy level. So that's probably not ideal for most people. I still want a Dalmatian, but anyway. So you have to look at your dog breeds and what's going to work for you. That's number one. Also look for health issues. I wasn't even aware of the whole bloat situation. A lot of big dogs. Yeah, I didn't know that. Yeah. A lot of big dogs.
I knew
have
a lot of. I knew about
hip dysplasia,
that.
Though, and a lot of those issues. And obviously, if you go with the purebred,
A lot of labs get bone cancer too.
Oh, that's sad.
Yep.
I didn't know that one. But if you go with purebred,
I think they have a vaccine for it or something like
that's
that.
That's good.
Yeah, it's because. A lot of the research on human vaccine, human cancers was the trial studies were done in dogs, so we know quite a bit of how to treat dog cancer.
Well, at least we can do that.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you go with a purebred, a lot of times they're not as the best attitudes, and they're not that smart. So definitely look into what works for you. Mutts are my favorite, personally.
Anyway, go to a shelter.
Yeah, go to a shelter, or just, you know, sometimes someone has to rehome their dog for whatever reason or something. But, I mean, stay away from Craigslist. It's always sketchy. But shelter's the best place to go. I also do get people who will complain about the cost of a dog. So a couple things. When you pay your $100, $200, whatever it is, the adoption fee, that dog has been microchipped. That's $100 right there. It has had its first set of shots. It has been spayed or neutered. So it's already cheaper to pay the adoption fee than for all of those things you'd have to do. Also, you're not taking into account the fact that some animals come in and have to get thousands upon thousands of dollars of medical work done and they don't charge you for that specific animal. They have to kind of, you know, spread out that cost. Plus, if you're not willing to spend $200, you probably shouldn't have a pet.
Yeah. Like, $200 for a dog is not much.
No.
At all.
Partially, it kind of helps weed out. It's not going to be an impulse. You're not going to do an impulse pickup because you can't be doing that with pets. This is a commitment. And they cost money. So you have to have money to have them.
One of the rescues we used to work with, I like them because you had to fill out the form first to request interview with the dog or cat or whatever animal it was to socialize and stuff with that. And there was because of that, no same day adoptions.
Yeah.
And it's like
a lot of the groups into that. With Tiger Lily, their adoptioner, you had to fill out this whole form.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, is it okay for us to come to your house to check it? But they didn't. I said yes, but they didn't come check it. So, and I don't think they did with anyone they were adopting to that day. Mm-hmm. But so sometimes they won't. Some people complain that they do it and you feel like you're being judged and stuff. And it's not about that. It's just like sometimes your house just isn't a good fit for that type of dog.
I honestly don't find it that big a deal because I know of like reptile and other exotic pet rescues.
Yeah.
Like, there's people that want giant tortoises. They absolutely need to come and check out your house because you cannot be keeping that thing in a tank inside, which some people try to do.
Yeah.
You need to make sure it's fortified because they are big dickers, some of them.
Yeah.
It's like, so you need to make sure that the house is proper. So I don't think it's that big of an ask.
But a lot of people just want a dog.
Yeah.
And then they'll get upset about, especially cats, they can't get them. Like, yeah, but if you have them outside, they get hit by cars, they get eaten by coyotes. So anyway, the point is people aren't just doing that to be a
pain in the
butt.
And then they're destroying the environment right now.
Yeah, so it's like, it's not just a pain in the butt and they're doing this to be mean or judge you. It's the best thing for the pet.
Yeah.
Also, it costs them more money. It's more stress on the pet if you have to return the pet.
Mm-hmm.
So they want to make sure when they adopt it out that it's going to be a good fit and it's going to work for you and your family. Or whatever your living situation is. Maybe some pets don't want a family. So,
like me.
But they'd have a family of other pets.
Yeah.
All of our cats have grown up around dogs and I don't think Tiger Lily has been exposed to them yet.
That reminds me of when I house it for my uncle and they had this one dog.
Yeah.
Didn't go up around cats. So in his notes when I came up, I was like, make sure the cats and dogs are not in the same room. He will eat them.
Oh, no. Yeah, when I grew up, we had one dog that would eat our cats if it was given the option. So we couldn't have cats indoors until he was.
My last dog, we had to get him desensitized to our cats.
Yeah, you can do it though.
Mm-hmm.
Also, my mom corrected me because I said that dog hated me until he found out that I would drop food. But apparently, he decided to love me after that, and he only would let my mom and me like pet him or get really close to him or kiss him. He wouldn't even let my dad get. I think I told you too, rabbit trailing as usual. But their last dog, when I first came to visit them, I hadn't met her yet. So I usually try to go over for Christmas to visit them, and I walk in the house. And I put all my stuff down. They didn't even greet me because they knew where I was coming, so they had the door unlocked already. So I come and I put my stuff up. The dog comes running out and starts barking at me, and I'm like, "Hi, Molly," which also I knew her name, so that was probably. And she kind of like looked confused and did like a confused bark, and then I was like, "Hi," and then she came over and let me pet her. And I'm like, a stranger just walked into this house, and she accepted them and let them pet her. Meanwhile, she was one who was afraid of men, so she took my dad like 2 years for her to like trust him. Anyway, dogs. Also, that is something to be aware of if you do adopt from a shelter. Sometimes they do, cats or dogs, take a while to warm up. So you have to be patient with them. But anyway, so if you're getting your doggy, however you're getting it, obviously the number one thing is food, treats, bowls, things like that. Food, again, just like with cats, just make sure you're not getting a bunch of shit.
Yeah.
So read the ingredients.
That's no McDonald's.
No, as we eat McDonald's.
Right.
Bag,
the McChicken.
A nugget bag.
Not McChicken, McNuggets.
I know, McNuggets still looking at us. But anyway, but that's not something that we eat all the time. That's a once in a while thing, right?
Also not every recording.
Yes, start recording food. We're terrible. Anyway, but you want to feed good food. And then you'll also discover if your dog has allergies. I will say I find that a lot of bulldogs, boxers, pits, a lot of those type of dogs do have grain allergies. And they also just have a lot of allergies. So probably a limited ingredient diet is best for them.
I remember one time there was a dog I had to search through everything.
Yeah.
And it's like I finally found this one refrigerated chub that just had fish. Oh, it was only protein. And it's like, finally.
I know. Some dogs have crazy allergies.
It's like, no beef, no lamb, no chicken, no other poultry.
It's crazy.
What can he eat?
So that's your food. Treats, same thing. You don't want to be too junky. Again, you're not giving them a ton. Well, don't give them a ton of treats. So it's okay if it's a little junky. But there are some treats that are literally just chicken.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just freeze-dried or jerky or whatever. Those are great. You want to have a good treat regardless of how old your dog is for training.
Mm-hmm.
Working on sitting, working on not jumping on people, all those kinds of things. You can treat train them. And you can also clicker train mm-hmm. them as well with a treat. And bowls, I've heard all kinds of different things. The main thing is you want a bowl they can't easily tip over. That's what I would say.
Mm-hmm.
From our dogs would...
Oh, wait. I want to say one more thing about...
Oh, yeah? Treat. Yeah.
Yeah, because I know some people, like pet stores will sell a peanut butter for dogs.
Yeah.
Make sure it's that and don't use actual peanut butter. Because some peanut butters use artificial sweetener called xylitol.
Mm-hmm.
That is very toxic to dogs.
Okay, so don't use that. Make sure you're using doggy approved peanut butter.
Because there's other sweeteners that are probably bad for dogs.
Obviously no chocolate. I feel like everybody knows that. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so yeah, that's food and treats. Bowls. Our dogs, we used to have the like metal bowls.
Mm-hmm.
And you would know it's dinner time. And they're impatient because they would go and take their foot and slam it down so the whole bowl would flip over and make so much noise. Mm. Anyway, so I just like bowls that don't flip over. Some people don't like having plastic bowls. Some people don't like having metal bowls. Obviously, whatever bowl you have, you want to be able to wash it regularly.
I like the metal ones just because they're more sanitary. They don't, with how metal is, there's no like porous.
Yeah.
Pores where stuff can get stuck in and bacteria can grow like in some plastic stuff. But then I like some of the plastic bowls because they're like the trick feeders.
I like the plastic ones. The biggest thing I would say is a lot of those are dishwasher safe. Throw them in the dishwasher and they'll be clean and it shouldn't be a problem. So bowls, but a lot of people do like metal for that reason. They say it's better. Toys and entertainment. Every dog is different. So some dogs don't even care about toys. We've had dogs who did not care at all.
My dog.
Yeah.
I threw a ball. He ran the other way.
Again, I think I brought this up with cats as well. Rope toys are very popular for dogs. Great when they're thick and braided. Once they get to those ends, if they start picking on that, take it away.
Mm-hmm.
You do not, if they start eating those things, take anything away from them because you do not want that to get tangled in their intestines. And it's very expensive to get treated. And it will also be a very bad death if you do not get it treated, if they cannot pass them. So I definitely suggest things like Kongs. There are some other ones where you can put treats inside the toy. That's good to kind of keep them busy for a while.
Especially if you freeze them.
Yeah. I also suggest go to the stores right after the holidays and stock up on cheapo on like the 50% off toys because they like a lot of plush ones with the squeakers in them, but a lot of dogs will just rip the squeaker out and then that's all they care about. Don't let them eat the stuffing either. But that's kind of good, like a cheaper way to do it. Some like puzzle ones are kind of good. I haven't had that with a dog myself. Most of our dogs haven't really been into toys.
Yeah, I don't remember, like, when I was younger, my dogs, I think, were into toys, but I was too young to remember back then.
Yeah. And
my most recent one definitely did not play with toys.
The toys they were into were the plush with squeakers. Mm-hmm. And she also stole some of my cat's toys, which was not nice. But so you discover with your dog what kind of toy they want. Also going along kind of with treats, rawhide is kind of a mixed batch. Some people
like
really
it.
Hate it. Some people like it. It will keep them busy for a long time. It's the plus side, but sometimes it can break up in a way that's very bad for them to digest and can cause problems. Usually, if something is kind of a mixed bag, I wouldn't choose it. So if I were getting a dog,
the better thing would be the yak chews.
The yak chews, there are other options. I always will recommend the Nylabone has some healthy edibles that are more compressed, so it takes them longer, but they're intended to be eaten.
Aren't those? I think those are made in China. I remember I had met somebody that as soon as they saw that, they freaked out. I was like, no, I'm not doing this.
I have news for you. A lot of things are made in China or Taiwan or wherever. So it is also nice to try and get things in America. But then people will complain that it's more expensive. And I'm like, well, no shit, Sherlock. It's because we actually have regulations and we have to pay our people more than like slave wages. So, you know.
Unless you have automation. And then there's the fact that it may say made in the United States. That does not mean sourced.
But some will put sourced.
Yeah.
So if you put sourced,
there's
in
no
the US,
requirement for the source. there are requirements for where it's made.
Yeah.
So, like, a lot of times, this is a completely different thing, but belts and other leather products, a lot of them will say made in the United States, same thing with Germany, but basically all leather originates from India.
Yeah, so don't, if it just says made in the country, that doesn't mean it's sourced. But yeah. There are ones that will say sourced mm-hmm. and made in the U.S.
Yeah.
So if it's that, I'd go with that. Obviously, that's all up to you. I've used stuff from other countries, but I try to do U.S. Also, just because we should try to shop local, so to speak. Not having to ship it
shop
across
locally ocean. From an international
yeah.
company.
But still, you don't have to ship it across the ocean.
Yeah.
But anyway, so that's toys, entertainment type stuff. You want to keep them busy, because if you don't, bye-bye couch. Bye-bye door. We have dog. Separation anxiety is a very typical thing with dogs. We had a dog who, so we lived in the boonies, we had a gate and big dogs. So we didn't necessarily lock all our vehicles if we left the house and went somewhere. So we learned we had to, because we had one dog who managed, my dad had a truck, and he opened the door while we were gone, went in and ripped up the upholstery. And then we had a van, and he was able to open the door because it was a sliding door, though. He didn't have the strength to pull it open. Otherwise, that would have been ripped up, too. And then another one took a door off. So, you know, it's fun. Anyways, that's the thing you have to look out for. As far as kind of trying to deal with that, obviously just training in general is huge. Please train your dog. Don't just assume you can do it on your own. Definitely try on your own first. Hey, I'm all for saving money. But you might need to go and get help.
Yeah.
Even with, you know, working for a pet retailer, people think that training is stupid. And they'll be like, oh, can I just drop my dog off and then you train it? And then it's great. I'm like, well, that's stupid, because it's about training you how to deal with your dog. And if somebody else trains your dogs, but then you don't keep up that training, your dog's going to be like, oh, I can get away with everything with you.
Yeah.
So also training in a store or in a group setting is good, because they have to learn how to deal with distractions. You can train your dog and it'll be a perfect angel at home. And then you take it out to a park and it's like, whoa, system overload. I'm not listening to you at all. But there are supplies, things like bitter yuck, bitter apple, that you can spray on furniture and things to try to deter chewing.
You also use...
on the dog, too.
Lemon juice or vinegar it was?
Somebody suggested before I was even born, I think, cayenne pepper, some sort of hot pepper.
Yeah.
To stop our dog from digging, and our dog decided he liked it.
Cayenne?
Yeah. So he licked it. And kept digging.
Good lord.
Anyway, and there are some dogs who don't care about bitter apple, bitter yuck. I accidentally tasted it one time, because we used it on our dog when he would not stop licking himself. It's really nasty. But there is the occasional dog that doesn't care, and they will eat it anyway. So that is something for that. Beds are kind of up for you. It's usually good to have beds. If they're young, they're probably going to eat it.
Reminds me of the videos where, like, there's two dogs. One's a big dog, the other one's a little dog. The big dog gets stuck with the little
tiny bed. And the big dog, it's like cats all the time, too. They always steal.
Oh, yeah.
It's
well, cats
so
aren't.
Funny. But, yeah, and then they're afraid to kick the cat off. And they're like, oh, okay, what do I do? Affy used to take the middle of Molly's bed all the time. All of the time. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so beds are good to have, though. Also, no bed is indestructible. We do sell, like, we've sold Kongs, and Kong is a popular brand. Like, this is indestructible. People get mad. I'm like, no, it's too resistant. Nothing is indestructible, especially depending on the kind of dog you have. Like I said, training is super important. Don't just think that if you have a Rottie, you need to train them, which you do. Like a Leonberger, that's a giant dog. You need that to be trained, because you can't have it running around. Also, train a frickin' Chihuahua. When it growls, when it snaps at someone, that's not cute. If you're going to get bit, it's going to be Chihuahua or Yorkie. Those are usually the two. Those are the evil ones who will bite all the time. But nobody cares, because they don't do a lot of damage. But train them. I've also met some very sweet Chihuahuas, but they're rare.
Mm-hmm.
Potty training, there's all kinds of different ways. You can do crate training and everything. One good thing I have heard is if you can keep them, when you're gone, shut off to a small area of your house, preferably that's tile or somewhere easy to clean, and then put the puppy pads there and don't let them have the whole run of the house is one way I've heard of that. But you'll have to kind of see what works, and then you might want to work with a professional on that. But do know there are going to be accidents. If you're getting a puppy, there are going to be accidents. If you can't handle that, don't get a puppy. Flat out. Also, maybe just don't get a pet.
Yeah.
If you can't handle it at all, but definitely don't get a puppy. You need a potty trained, full grown dog. Also, with cleaning, you need to use cleaning brands like, not necessarily a brand, but cleaning like Nature's Miracle, things with the enzymes that are going to break down stuff. Because if a dog pees in an area and it doesn't get completely cleaned up, it's just going to keep peeing in mm-hmm. that area. So you have to clean it up fully. Very important. Also, as I said before, have a freaking evacuation plan and mm-hmm. have emergency pet stuff. And have a crate. Unless, of course, you have a giant dog. Then leashes and stuff. Also, oh gosh, this is another thing. Mm-hmm. I would suggest having a collar, a harness, and a leash. Probably two leashes. It's also good mm-hmm. to leave a leash in your car, just because. But I will have people who bring back a harness their dog ate through. And they're like, oh, it chewed through it. I'm like, oh, well, did you do it on the walk or did you leave it on them all the time? Oh, it's on them all the time.
Why?
Well, that was your mistake. First of all, it's not super comfortable for them to wear all the time. And yeah, they're going to chew mm-hmm. it off. I would too. Yeah. So the collar is where your name tag should be. That's what they should be wearing all the time. If they get out, someone can find them or if they're microchipped. But a collar is easier. You don't have to take them into a vet to get them mm-hmm. scanned. Harnesses are good for walking. You don't want dogs, especially dog like Yorkies, I believe, and other ones that have little trachea issues. You don't really want them on a collar because if they pull, they can actually really screw up their throats yeah. and their tracheas. So harnesses are better for walking. I always suggest harness for walking, collar for at home. However, don't just assume you're going to throw any normal harness on a husky, for example. A lot of dogs, when they get that harness on, they want to pull more, especially if they're a working dog or something like that. In that case, you're going to want to go with something like an easy walk harness that people are like, oh, this is BS. It's not.
Yeah.
It totally changes how the dog moves, and you can also do gentle leaders. I personally like easy walks more than gentle leaders because some gentle leaders like go up into their eyes just based on the way
yeah.
the dog's snout is formed or shaped, not formed. But yeah, so harnesses for walks, probably still good to have if you have a husky. Just have an easy walk versus a normal harness, or they're just going to pull. Mm-hmm. And that is a big thing with training. Don't let them pull you. And you have to be consistent and have patience and make sure everyone in the family mm-hmm. is being consistent. Grooming varies from dog to dog. As we heard with mm-hmm. the Leonberger, probably not great.
Yeah.
Kind of a pain. I like having labs and short-haired dogs. Because just a really light brushing is all you need occasionally and some nail maintenance. We had a big property, so they ran around and did their nails pretty much themselves. We barely had to do that. But if you get... I would love to get a Maltese. Like, they're so sweet. I've never met a nasty-tempered Maltese. They're always the sweetest things, but the grooming on that.
Oh, yeah.
No. Like, the eyes and just... Ugh, I can't.
One of my friends has a Maltese mix.
Yeah. They're the sweetest. I mm-hmm. love them. But the grooming on it... Also, grooming is expensive. Y'all. Mm-hmm. So if you don't know how to do it yourself, and don't assume you know how to do it yourself, groomers learn stuff for a while for mm-hmm. a reason. It's expensive. I'd say easily $60, right?
Oh, yeah, easily.
For a groom? Yeah. That you're doing, what, every 6 weeks? Every 2 months-ish? About that? So.
For some, maybe more often.
Yeah, depends on the dog. So grooming is a big thing, but at home you're going to be brushing them. Also, I love it when the groomers would get somebody who'd be like, oh, yeah, I brush them every day, and the dog is matted.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, no, you don't. Don't lie. So you do have to brush them regularly. And I can say from having a long-haired cat, I would try to get her about every other day at least, mm-hmm. and that would keep her reasonable until she got old and got really difficult about it. But, yeah. And then, obviously, part of the research is looking into any medical issues that might be typical for the type of dog you're getting. Like I said, big dogs have a lot of hip dysplasia issues, so you want to get them on, like, glucosamine and chondroitin, all those kind of hip, I don't know what to call that, but...
Dysplasia.
Your clown is looking at me again. All of the, it distracted me. All of the, just the supplements to help out with that. Flea and tick is also a big thing. Differing opinions on that. also, if you're...
I remember one time I met somebody who was completely against, like, the flea and tick treatments, and it's like saying, like, I don't want to be putting a bunch of chemicals on my dog. And it's like, I didn't say this, I wanted to say this. And it's like, you do realize everything is nothing but a bunch of chemicals. We're a bunch of chemicals.
We are a bunch of chemicals. I have always personally used Advantage, and it has worked for us pretty well. Mm-hmm. There are some natural things you can do. When I grew up in the boonies, we used to feed our dogs stuff that had brewer's yeast in it, and that seems to help. Deter fleas. Mm-hmm. Not 100%, but it seemed to help. So But if they have fleas, you need to treat them. Also, I prefer the squeeze-ons versus the collars or the shampoos. The shampoos, I think, are probably the least effective. Yeah. So I like the squeeze-ons. Yeah. Yes, it's not ideal.
Yeah, we're learning, in my entomology class, we're learning about ectoparasites on a few insects. And yeah. It's like a lot of these, like, the shampoos are not going to work.
No, it's kind of crazy. So definitely I would suggest the squeeze-ons, I think, are the best option. Mm-hmm. They're not ideal, but they work the best. They're the easiest. And it's very rare that an animal has a reaction to that. Mm-hmm. So, but sometimes they do. So keep an eye on them. And if they have a bad reaction, talk to your vet, obviously. And take them to a vet. If you're going to get a dog, you're making a financial commitment. It's like having a child. Are you just not going to take your kid to the doctor if they're sick? Are you planning to not? You're not planning to have kids. Good. You shouldn't have children if you're not going to take them to the doctor when they're sick. You need to know that you're going to have to take them to the vet. You're going to have to spend money on them. There's going to be at least one time in that dog's lifetime, there's going to be some surprise expensive vet bill. So do not get a dog. It's like, oh, my kids want a dog. No, you're making an adult decision. You're making a commitment. And it's not like they're going to break the bank. They're not insanely expensive, but they are going to be a cost. And you need to budget that ahead of time and see what you can afford. So anyway, that's kind of in a nutshell what it takes to get a doggy. But right. They're so great, and they make your life so wonderful. They're totally worth it. Totally, totally worth it. And also just, you know, commit to your doggy for its whole life. Don't just think because it's a senior doggy and it can't do stuff. And then people put them down for the stupidest reasons. I'm like, again, you made a commitment. Mm-hmm. It will come to a point a lot of times where you do have to make that choice, and it's awful. But just, you know, would you want to live in pain?
Yeah.
That's how I look at it. Like, you know. You got to do what's best for them. So anyway, that is doggies. I think we pretty much touched a little bit on everything. Yeah. Also, introducing them to children, to other dogs. Socializing is really important. That's something that's best done when they're younger. And then also cats, so they don't eat people's cats. Because that's the situation. And yeah, that's doggies.
All right.
Casey, speaking of dogs, what kind of construction do dogs excel at?
Construction?
Mm-hmm. Anymore, you know, talking plumbing, tiling, like, there's all kinds of things like that, right?
I don't know construction.
Okay. Roofing. Dogs are good roofers.
Good Lord, woman.
So much. I mean, Casey, I know you're sick of all these puns, but just hear me out. You didn't even get that one.
Hear me out.
Mm-hmm. Hear me out.
Oh my God. You were only allowed two puns in that last one.
Yeah, no, this was the two. I know, now we're down to one for the next two episodes. Casey can relax, we're down to two. I mean, one per episode. You know what I mean? I had to catch up because you let me forget, Casey. You let me.
Yeah, I totally forgot to let you know.
Yeah, uh-huh. But anyway, what goes great with dogs, Casey?
Kitty cats.
Cats! And it was my turn to pick our favorites this week. And I chose our words. Oh my gosh.
Allie struggles with words.
I'm struggling with everything. I'm just a struggle bus today. My choice was our favorite small cats in Africa. I guess African small cat was a better way to word that. So Casey, I will say Casey's choice was my second choice. So yay, and they're pretty awesome. Tell us about them, Casey.
So for mine, I picked the African serval. Its scientific name is Leptalurus serval.
Serval.
They are 60 centimeters long. So roughly 2 feet. Okay. And they weigh about 9 to 18 kilos. In the wild, these guys only live to be about 10 years. Aww. But in captivity, the average is more like 22 years.
Okay.
And one unique characteristic about them is they are the only cat that has both spots and stripes.
They do, don't they?
Yes, they do.
That's crazy.
If you exclude the fact that tigers have spots on the back of the ears.
Well, we're not going to count that.
Which reminds me, it's like, have you ever seen that meme? Was like, tigers have spots on the back of their ears to to make it so predators don't attack him. And it's like, the guy is like, I'm like, I'm a lot less afraid of tigers, but I'm much more afraid of like what hunts them.
Whatever the fuck is hunting tigers. What is the natural predator to tiger? I know, right? Same.
So these guys have enlarged ears that allow them to pick up little noises, detect their prey.
Mm-hmm.
And they also have very distinctively long legs.
Mm-hmm, they do.
Yep. And they're very good jumpers. They can jump over 6 feet straight up.
They're really good.
Yeah. Even though they can do that, they don't really hunt birds that often. They are actually crepuscular predators hunting at dawn or dusk. And 90% of their prey is actually rodents, mm-hmm. and only 5% is birds.
Yeah.
And they are actually a very important predator for keeping rodent populations under control. They've also are involved in the pet trade, both as being an exotic pet on their own, and they have also been bred with domestic cats to make this breed called a Savannah.
Savannah cat, yeah.
Yeah.
Savannah cats are big.
Yep. I remember for a long time I wanted a Savannah cat. Now I question more the efficacies of it.
Yeah. Also, having a serval would be a stupid idea. They're real big. I mean, they're not as big as like a cheetah or anything else, but they're big.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want that getting mad at me.
Yeah. I think, pretty sure they're illegal in New York, or at least New York City, and a few other places.
They should be illegal everywhere, but of course Texas and Florida will always allow them because it's Texas and Florida.
Yeah. Well, that, I'm not hopeful for it, but this was the news I was alluding to earlier, is that not too long ago the House passed the Big Cat Safe Public Safety Act, I think it's called.
Oh, that would be nice if it was federal.
Yeah.
It is a public safety issue,
mm-hmm.
and also for the cat.
Yeah, but I'm doubtful that will pass the Senate.
Yeah, that's true.
So anywho.
Back to the serval.
Yes.
Awesome kitties.
Yes. So these guys don't have any special status under CITES. And they're currently listed as least concerned by the IUCN Red List. And population is currently stable. Major threat is typical major threat of most animals, and that's habitat fragmentation, especially for habitat that is rich in rodents.
Hmm. Mm-hmm. They should do well in cities then. You got a rat problem? Call a serval.
Yeah.
Except they'll probably eat your small cat too. Anyway, is that it for the serval?
That is it.
They're
for the serval.
Awesome. I do have to say, one time I was at the wild animal park, and before they do the cheetah run, they'll bring out an animal ambassador, mostly to talk to the people who pay for the cheetah safari, but you still kind of get to see them. And they brought out a serval one day, and someone was like, oh, it's a cheetah. And I was just like, look, if you didn't know the difference between a serval and some other smaller cats, totally get that.
Yep.
A cheetah is pretty distinctive. Very clearly not a cheetah.
Yeah.
So that was a stretch.
That's not even one of my biggest pet peeves, but that is annoying.
We haven't gotten into pet peeves in a while.
No.
In the new year, we can get back into them.
Yes,
we'll
I will
see
talk
how
about.
2021 goes, by the way. We don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah, I will eventually get on my rants of cheetahs, leopards, and jaguars.
Oh, my. But before we get into that, we get into my favorite small African cat, and that is the caracal. Is that actually how you say it?
Yes, it's pronounced caracal.
Okay, I'm always like, is it caracal or caracal or caracal? Oh my god, I did not know that, and this makes me so happy. Their scientific name is caracal caracal. This is like, caracal cats.
Oh my gosh.
All right. I chose them because I think they're very distinctive looking. Like, the closest thing they look like is kind of like a lynx, but
yeah.
Not really. Mm-hmm. But they have this brown color with kind of a red brown coat usually,
mm-hmm.
with black tufts of hair on their ears, and they're very long and they're so cute. Oh my god, they're so cute. They weigh 8 to 19 kilograms. They are 80 to 125 centimeters long. In the wild, it is estimated that their lifespan is 12 years, and in captivity it is up to 20 years. They live in a variety of habitats, but mainly in woodlands, scrub forests, and rocky hills. Makes sense with their coloring.
Yep.
They're primarily a nocturnal predator, and like other cats, they are obligate carnivores. Majority of their diet is hyraxes. Oh, the poor hyraxes. hares, rodents, and birds, especially doves and partridges for certain seasons. Do they offer partridges at Christmas?
Oh my God.
Certain seasons where that's listed, it's like, oh, we go for turkeys around Thanksgiving. That totally existed here. So turkey would be a big prey for caracal.
Yeah.
They have a tenacious attitude and have been observed chasing off predators twice their size. I believe that. Yep. Have you met Caspian at the animal park?
Caspian.
He's an animal ambassador. I think it's a he. Animal ambassador. He's a caracal. They have.
Yeah, I remember him.
Yeah, they've shown him jumping sometime. He has attitude.
Yeah, I saw him once. Yeah. Kind of lash out at a animal.
He gets a little pissy. Not as bad as the other one we're going to talk about today, actually. That one's the nastiest attitude of all. But anyway, Caspian. So if you go to the animal park, ask for Caspian. I hope he's still around. That was a while ago when I saw him. Anyway. Let's see. So important in regulation of different prey species, as in some regions, they are the only known predators of certain prey items. So obviously they're really important, or otherwise we're going to have an overabundance of things that we don't want to have. Well, we want to have them. We just don't want to have too many of them.
Yeah.
According to CITES, the Asian populations of caracals are listed under Appendix 1, but African and other populations are listed under Appendix 2. Where else are they?
Huh?
Where else are they besides Asia and Africa?
There's some in Europe.
Okay, cool. And they are listed as least concerned by the IUCN Red List. Population trend is unknown, but they're super awesome looking, and they're also really good jumpers.
Yep.
But their faces are beautiful. I love them. I love them so much. And meet Caspian, because he's cool. I think it's a he.
Pretty sure Caspian's a male name.
I think he is. Yeah, but there's all kinds of males or names it could be anyway, but I think it is a boy.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Isn't that a character in a movie or something?
Sure it is.
Prince Caspian.
Okay.
That's from the Lion, Witch, and Wardrobe series.
I would say, yeah, he's in something like that, yeah.
Yeah. No relation to an actual caracal. But that was one of my favorite series as a kid. I've never
seen a character in any film or TV or book.
Nope.
They should. They're so pretty. Mm-hmm. With their tufts. Their tufts are so cute. Anyway. But as I was saying, caracals have these little attitudes. Nothing compared to the attitude of our for this week.
Not appropriate.
Why is that not appropriate?
Because of its attitude.
Oh, yeah. It's not that aw. It looks aw, though. And our animal of the week is...
The black-footed cat.
The black-footed cat.
Yes.
Oh, they're little balls of anger.
Tiny terrors.
Yes.
All right. So these guys are from the order Carnivora. Because they love meat.
Okay.
Okay.
I don't know why I was waiting. Why you had to wait for that?
Because it's totally not a problem with being a STEM major. They're from the family Felidae, which is the small cats. Mm-hmm. And the genus Felis, and their scientific name is Felis nigripes.
Okay.
I swear you always laugh whenever.
Always weird, but like that one.
It's Latin, of course. It's weird.
Okay, that's offensive to anyone who speaks Latin.
Nobody speaks Latin. It's a dead language.
Yeah, well, that doesn't mean that nobody knows it at all, though. Anyway, continue.
Lord. Okay. So these guys are found in Botswana, Namibia, and South Africa. They also have a patchy distribution in parts of Angola, Zimbabwe, and possibly Lesotho.
What?
That's a country.
What is it called?
Lesotho.
Oh, okay.
What do you think I said?
You said possibly Lesotho or something.
Possibly.
Possibly, okay.
I'm sorry, I can't talk very well.
I know, you're having issues today. It's okay, we both are.
Yeah. Yeah, so these guys primarily live in grassland and savanna-type habitats. In the wild, we do not know their lifespan, but it is estimated to be probably around 10 to 13 years of age.
Okay.
In captivity, they can live up to be 15 years old. And these guys are the smallest cat in Africa.
Mm-hmm.
They are only 20 centimeters tall.
I feel like they're one of the smallest cats in the world.
Yes, I think there are either two or three.
Yeah, so there aren't that many that are smaller. But anyway, continue, sorry.
And their body is 36 to 52 centimeters
They're
long.
So tiny.
Their tail's only about 12 to 20 centimeters.
Yeah.
And on average, they weigh about 1 to 2.75 kilos.
They're literally smaller than your average house cat.
Yes.
They're so cute.
There is minor sexual dimorphism, with the males being just slightly larger than the females. Mm-hmm. And just like all the cats we've mentioned, they are obligate carnivores. You remember what that means?
Not really.
It means they only eat meat.
Okay.
And they prey on a wide variety of small vertebrates. About 72% of their diet is small mammals, 26% is birds, and 2% is amphibians, reptiles, and invertebrates.
Okay.
And majority of the prey they hunt is usually less than 40 grams.
Wow.
Yep. And these guys, like most other cats, are nocturnal. And this is one of the reasons why it's difficult to study them and why there's not a whole lot of information on them. But in the small mammalian communities they live in, they are the top predator.
Adorable is that mammalian community.
Yeah, the adorable apex predator.
I know, yes. We haven't gotten to the best things about them yet.
Yeah. So they're important for keeping down population of agricultural pests like rodents. They is estimated they will consume about 3,000 rodents per year.
Wow, a single cat?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, and they have actually pretty large territories for their size. So these tiny little things, the males have a territory about 13 to 20 square kilometers.
Wow.
And females about 10 to 12 square kilometers.
Okay.
And they actually have a couple different ways of hunting prey. They will sometimes go to the entrance of rodent burrows. They will just sit there for like 40 minutes straight waiting for something to come out.
Wow.
And then pounce on it. Yeah.
Patience.
This is my favorite one I learned about. Is how they will get birds out of the grass. They'll just flush them out by quickly running through the grass and then spooks the birds out, and then they fly and then they jump and catch them. And actually what's interesting is occasionally there will be marsh owls following them, and they will pick up the other prey that gets flushed out.
To flush them out.
Yep. And they actually can jump pretty high, about 1.5 meters. So,
like 3 feet.
That's more,
well,
than,
no,
3 feet.
More than 3 feet.
Yeah, that's at least 4 feet. Probably a bit
more.
That's
pretty good for something that small.
Yes. And they can leap over 2 meters in distance.
Wow, that's impressive.
That's a me. Almost. I'm a little bit shorter than 2 meters. And they are very tenacious little cats. They have been known to chase away black-backed jackals when they're cornered. Yeah, keep in mind, a black-backed jackal is about 38 centimeters tall, 1 meter long, and weighs about 5 to 10 pounds. Kilos.
Yes.
And they have one of the highest success rates of any predator. They're successful in about 60% of their hunts. Just as a comparison, lions only successful about 20 to 25%.
Yes, these are the deadliest cat in Africa.
Yes. Yeah, they will actually capture more prey in one night than a leopard can in 6 months.
Oh my gosh, poor leopard.
Yep. They are very efficient. And they will also tear you apart if you try to pick them up.
They are vicious little things.
Yes. They are currently listed as vulnerable by the IUCN Red List. And their threats include habitat loss, and the population is becoming increasingly fragmented. They are also occasionally hunted, and then they are killed by poisonous baits as well.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Why would you hunt them? You're not getting anything off that.
Probably for pelts.
Ugh, annoying.
And these guys, the protections that they do have is in several parks like Otto Elephant National Park, Karoo National Park, and others are protected areas, and they're found in a lot of these regions. Also, it is illegal to hunt black-footed cats in Botswana and South Africa. They are listed under Appendix 1, under CITES, which is the Convention on International Trade in Endangered Species of Wild Fauna and Flora. Which gives them the highest level of protection in international trade.
Ooh.
Yeah. So I can go more detailed dry specifics. So under Appendix 1 specimens, an import permit is issued by management authority of the state of import is required. This may be issued only if the specimen is not to be used for primarily commercial purposes, and if the import will be for purposes that are not determined for detrimental to the survival of the species. In the case of a live animal or plant, the scientific authority must be satisfied that the proposed recipient is suitably equipped to house and care for it.
Okay.
Other condition is an export permit or re-export certificate issued by the management authority of the state, which just, by the way, state just means whatever government.
Right, yeah.
Is also required. An export permit may be issued only if the specimen was legally obtained, the trade will not be detrimental to the survival of species, and an import permit has already been issued. A re-export or export certificate may be issued only if the specimen was imported in accordance with the provisions of the convention, and in the case of a live animal or plant, if an import permit has been issued. In the case of a live animal or plant, it must be prepared and shipped to minimize any risk or injury to the or any cruel cruel treatment to the animal.
Okay. Oh, they're so cute, but they are vicious little things.
Yes.
Were you with me when the keeper was feeding them?
I think so.
Yeah, they're net. They're just hissing and growling like they're bringing you treats. Mm-hmm. Little dead mouse and all kinds of fun things. And you are just, whoa.
They won't have it.
They're like, nope. Get away from me. But they're tiny. They're so teeny tiny. Mm-hmm. And I love them. They're amazing and they're just the most successful hunter. Well, kitties.
Yes.
Deadliest kitty in Africa. Mm-hmm. You think of a lion, but it's actually smaller than a house cat. It just won't kill you, but it would probably chase you off.
Yeah.
I think you would definitely get chased off by that cat.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, they're super awesome. I just love all of our animals today, Casey.
Yes. Most are cats.
They are all cats. But we also talked about dogs. Mm-hmm. Well, my parents' dogs specifically. Yeah. And dogs are great too. I didn't realize I did that. So it is my turn for the challenge, Casey.
Indeed.
And are you ready for it?
No.
We're both going to struggle.
Yep.
But you just said one that I'm probably going to steal. So this is our challenge today.
All right.
Can you get your timer out? Because your timer is more trustworthy.
Okay.
Oh, no. I don't have a writing implement to track how many we get right.
How do you not have a writing implement?
I don't know. I'm ill-prepared. Well, I can use this one.
How much time?
Watch me fall off this chair right now. Hold up. Okay, let's do 2 minutes, because I don't think we're going to be able to keep coming up with a bunch.
Okay.
I don't know, maybe we'll surprise ourselves. So, kind of an offshoot of our alphabet challenge. It really has nothing to do with the alphabet, but that kind of an idea.
Okay.
We are going to name, Casey, as many animals as we can that have a body part in their name. So neither of us can steal this. For example, the black-footed cat.
Oh my gosh.
Okay, so, you know, paw or like ears or whatever. Any body part, we can name that. Okay. But that has to be in their name. All right, we're going to give ourselves 2 minutes.
Good Lord, I'm not starting.
Okay, fine, I'll go first.
Oh,
I
know.
I should steal the black-footed cat. But,
you cheat.
All right, are we ready?
No, but okay.
Here we go, and go. Black-backed jackal.
Oh, my God. Black-footed cat.
There you go. Whatever. I'll let you cheat. Blue-footed booby.
Pink-footed booty. Booby.
So a booty. Bat-eared fox.
Yeah. Gold-winged macaw.
Gold-winged macaw? Okay. Blue-tongued skink.
Pink-tongued skink.
Oh, no, I just had one. Oh, a three-toed sloth.
Two-toed sloth.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, no, I'm starting to run out. I'm dying. Oh, a hornbill.
Red-tailed hawk.
Okay, fine. I'm going to say there got to be a lot of tail things right up there. I'm going to say a yellowfin tuna counts because it's a fin.
Bluefin tuna.
That's, you just keep cheating and stealing things I'm saying already. needle nose fish.
Red shoulder hawk.
A Blue-nosed pig.
A dog brain. Yes. Dang it. Why can't I think of it?
I know, it's hard. I'm trying to think of them too. I'm hoping you'll take a long time so that I can think of some. Oh, we're going to die. We're about to lose time anyway.
Oh, no, that's not. It doesn't say no. It's.
There it goes.
Hornbill.
I already said hornbill.
Dang it.
Okay.
Oh.
We got 17. Honestly, better than I thought we'd do.
Yeah.
To be real. I think we did okay. So let us know how you did. Casey's like, are you still thinking?
Shovel nose guitar fish.
I knew you were going to start thinking of all of them now. There's going to be a lot of noses and tails and fins. And
proboscis monkey.
I'm not counting that.
What? Proboscis is a nose.
I know, but I'm not counting that. No. Anywho.
I mean, hammerhead shark.
Yep. He's obsessed with it now. That's going to be it. Humpback. Anglerfish and a whale. Anyway. we can use that one again, and we just can't use any of these names that we're totally not going to remember what we said.
Yeah. No, we're totally remembering all these names.
Yeah, 100%. Okay. Anyway. Well, that brings us to the end.
Blue-eyed lemur.
Yep, and it's going to keep going off on this. This is going to keep happening. Anyway, this is how it goes. Okay.
Okay.
Thank you so much for listening, everyone. Brings us to the end of our 19th episode, Casey.
Yes.
Of the Animal Addicts podcast. And as always, we're your hosts, Allie.
And Casey.
We will catch you on the next episode, into the 20s, no longer a teenager, of the Animal Addicts podcast. Woo!